All right, station ID we do on the top of the hour. And so welcome every single one. If you are just now joining us, this is a two-hour show every single Sunday afternoon, Living the Good Life, and we're in our ninth year. And we are on at 3 o'clock Eastern till 5 o'clock Eastern. And then again, I mentioned a moment ago, and a bit of bears repeating, any shows that you missed, then you can join us every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. for this show, Eastern Standard Time, on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Betty, we're just blessed to be a part of StarCom, aren't we?
Oh, yes. I said the outreach goes beyond our borders.
It does.
Different countries from north, south, east, and west. Isn't it amazing?
About eight countries now. Yes, it did. It all came about it was miraculously. And about eight countries. And now we'll be in our ninth country, Mexico, in a couple weeks with our own radio station. And the radio equipment that I took there to Puebla back in early February. And we will have programming, original programming, and great music, all in Spanish, of course. And we will tell you more in the next couple weeks on how you can access that. If you know people that speak Spanish, you want to access our radio show there, you would do that through the internet, and it's easy. It's www.radio, R-A-D-I-O, radio, Libre, L-I-B-R-E, dot soy, S-O-Y. So you can access our shows in a couple weeks, and we'll let you know when that is up and running. The equipment is there, and we're working on all the details right now. Betty, this is just exciting. You've been having to listen to me for 6 months about my thrill and excitement to be back working with my Spanish brothers and sisters again, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, but you know what? When you do speak, it speaks with joy. It speaks with comfort to know that you're doing exactly what the Lord wants you to do.
Yeah.
He's always told you to extend your tent stake,
right?
To go out, you know, beyond the walls and minister to people. And I think that it's an honor to be able to do that, because you're a disciple. You're out doing what the disciples did, you know, 2,000 years ago. And we're still able to do that today, to get out of our comfort zone of our nice little cozy little homes and, you know, get on an airplane and travel that far into a country, a new country, where they're just as, they don't have maybe have as much as we do. But you know what? They consider themselves. So, I mean, from your pictures, they're so blessed with
they
what
are
they
blessed.
Have.
They are blessed.
You know, they are so blessed. And, you know, to see them, you know, worship in just a little room, or worship outside, to see people that are happy and dancing and just enjoying life itself and not concerned about the world and how the world conveys them.
Right.
It's a miracle to be able to see you minister to those people down there, and how open that they are for what the Lord wants to do.
Oh, they are. And, you know, it is very exciting. And I'm thrilled to be a part of all this and to be an instrument that God is using to set up this new radio station, Christian Radio Work. And it's extremely exciting. And for me, having spent growing up years in Costa Rica and in Guatemala, it is like going home. And you know, God told me I would feel that way. And Betty, when I landed there in Mexico City on February 5th, as the airplane was gliding in, getting ready to land, or a little before that, maybe 40 minutes before that, I began to see the mountains. And I took a couple pictures, which will be in a video that we are putting together right now. Took some pictures of those mountains, and just the beauty of it, it just was like my heart was singing with joy. And even though it took me a couple hours to get through customs, God performed miracles for me there. Everything we prayed about, getting the green light through customs, the taxes that we had to pay on all the radio equipment ended up being half of what we had anticipated. We found favor with the people that were there in customs, and it was just me there with the equipment, but it's we being all of us who donated and were a part of all that. But you know, from that moment on, God just did miracle after miracle in those 2 weeks, and I give him all the glory and the praise, helping my Spanish situation come back strong, causing me to remember verses I'd memorized, all kinds of things. And I just give God the glory and the praise, Betty, and all of you that prayed me through all that. And of course, you being one of my very best friends in all the world, you were very instrumental in praying for me on a daily basis. And I know that. And I can't thank you and Megan enough, and your family, and our church family here at Beacon.
You know, that's what, when you played that song, Face Down, that's what I enjoy doing, is praying for people.
Amen.
And knowing the reward,
yes,
that comes to the person that you're praying for when you,
right,
see victory.
Yes.
And you see monumental things happen when people pray.
Amen.
And it's, I know when you told me that you were going to Mexico, I can speak, I have to tell you one of these days, I can speak Spanish, and I will tell you how I can do that.
How?
I can't do it on the air.
Oh, okay.
I would rather show it to you in person.
All right, if I come, that's fine.
I will not probably ever go to Mexico with you, but that's not where I'm to minister.
All right.
But I think that seeing the pictures and seeing Enrique and Pedro.
Yeah.
Such gentle spirits. I mean,
yes.
You see it on their faces.
Sweet, sweet men.
How much that they love the Lord.
Oh, amen.
And how much the people enjoyed you being there.
Oh, it was fun.
A woman. I mean, we're talking about a woman going down to an area that is unchartered was a miracle.
Well,
and I think it's going to open doors
for
others to be able to circumvent that path and be able to go down and minister to the wonderful people of in the southern South America, and maybe Guatemala, Brazil, wherever
God sends us,
wherever you say, Lord, send me.
Amen.
He might just send you, so you got to be careful what you say.
Amen, my friend, my sister. All right, this song, No Doubt, by Petra, and then we're going to talk to Betty Moore in a moment.
There are times when you feel like you can't go on. There are times when you feel like giving in. And there are times when you feel like you can't try anymore. There are times of trouble in believing. This test of your faith will last as long as it takes to pass. Do you have no more doubt you'll endure? And your faith will take a reckless leap of faith. There's a time to pick up.
Understand someday that all things do work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Betty, so often I think that Christians get just bogged down in trying to ask why. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why am I in this situation that I'm in? And I wonder, you know, I don't think Jesus did this, but I wonder how especially the disciples felt when they would be in these discussions with these religious leaders or when things would happen that they certainly didn't expect to happen. And I'm going to give us an example, and we're going to go to verse 21 of Matthew 15 right here. From there, Jesus took a trip to Tyre and Sidon. They had already arrived when a Canaanite woman, this was not an Israelite, this was a Gentile, so to speak, came down from the hills and pleaded, "Mercy, Master, Son of David, my daughter is cruelly afflicted by an evil spirit." Jesus ignored her. He did this on purpose. He did not do this out of meanness. Jesus did this to see where her heart was. And I'm going to make this point, Betty, and then maybe you can jot it down and come back and answer this in a minute. I wonder how many times God kind of waits on some of our answers to see where our hearts are. Is there, according to like this song that we just played, is there no doubt in our hearts that God is going to answer? Do we hang on long enough, you know, to really get that answer? Or do we just say, oh, God doesn't care about me. God doesn't answer my prayer. Or I'm prayed once and I'm not going to pray again. And that is not scriptural, because we are told in the Word to pray without ceasing. Jesus taught us to pray. Betty, please comment on all that.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking about what you were talking about just a few seconds ago. And I have to look back on my daughter's situation with Grayson.
I was thinking about Grayson a moment ago, too, when I was saying that.
Mm-hmm. And I think about how strong she stood and waited.
Right.
For an answer. And even though the answer didn't come, it came with him passing and being flying high with the Lord.
Right.
That she stood strong, and
right.
God did answer her prayer with Zoe Grace.
Right.
So we're looking at quite a time span there that most people would have given up.
Right.
They would have had the doubt in their heart.
Right.
They would have said,
yes.
Okay, Lord, you know, you were not in this. I mean, they could have turned, she could have turned her back on God.
Oh, absolutely. People do over things like this.
Over losing a child.
Yes.
Losing a child so much as maybe not getting a job promotion or not seeing financial advancement
come
as quickly as they needed it. But again, we have that steadfast belief that no matter the circumstances that we're in, that God is still going to work. He
Amen.
Is still in control.
Yes.
He's still on the throne.
Yes.
And once you go through the storm, once you go through the fire, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, you understand the meaning of what we're talking about. It becomes more prevalent to you. You understand what we're talking about is that seeing someone go through a death like that is hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
It's very... I know it sounds strange, but it can humble you.
Oh, absolutely.
It can humble you to the point where you have no other place to fall than at the feet of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And once you fall and you let that doubt disappear, you let the anger, the hatred, everything that we felt at one point, it almost dissolves like a... Oh, there was drinks that we used to have called fizzies.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Fizzies would just dissolve into nothing. It would maybe turn color. But that's what happens when you give everything that you are doubting about, the troubles, the heartache that you're going through, is that once you lay it down and humble yourself and say, God, I give it to you. And I think that that's what the Lord was wanting the disciples to see is, okay, have someone come, say, do this, but where's your heart? Where's your heart in this? Is it seeking this or seeking this? Seeking this or seeking that? You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I do.
It's amazing that some of the things that the disciples are thinking, what?
Right.
You know, what are you doing? Jesus has a purpose.
Right.
He had a purpose for everything that he did.
Absolutely. And I think right here with the story of this Canaanite mother who has a child that is afflicted by a demonic spirit, and she comes to Jesus, and Jesus kind of puts her off, Betty, and he kind of says, well, you know what? I came to minister to the children of Israel, not the Gentiles. And some people don't understand Jesus' attitude, but I think what's going on here is Jesus has seen where her heart is by just delaying his answer a little bit. Do you know what I mean, Betty?
Amen. Yeah, amen. And I think that's what I was trying to convey.
Yeah.
Is that he wants to see where our heart is.
Right.
Are we doing this for show? Are we doing this to make a statement? Are we doing this for our own power?
Right.
Or that I got to see Jesus? Or is it, Lord, I'm begging you, Master, help me. I think he knew, but I think he wanted to show people a parable here.
Right.
Is that those that wait upon the Lord.
Yes.
We'll see him.
Woo!
And how great thou art, even in this, is that Jesus ministers to those who love him.
Amen.
Whose hearts are right, whose hearts are with him. And it doesn't, even in today's world, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, yellow, striped, polka dotted. You have told me this for so many years. It doesn't matter who we are.
That's right.
Where we've been is that Jesus is our friend.
Amen.
And he loves us, and he cares about us. Every aspect of our lives, Pastor.
Absolutely.
Aspect.
And, you know, when you mentioned that a minute ago, it reminded me of Isaiah 40:31, and I'm going to read this out of the NIV. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And so it's hoping in God. It is believing that no matter what is coming at us, God has an answer. God will get us out of it or see us through it. I told somebody, dear friends, a couple nights ago on Skype, we were Skyping people in Mexico, and I said, if God brings us to it, he will see us through it. That's not original with me, but I will tell you that that has helped me so much. If God brings us to it, he'll see us through it. And you know what? It's all about grace, which is Jesus walking in. Listen to this song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, When Grace Walks In.
Standing there with your list of regrets that you can't get past yourself. You wish so bad that you can make the mark, but your dreams are stuck on a shelf. Back time and redeem the days you lost. The shame keeps calling out your name, and the chains refuse to fall. But it's not over, it's not over. This is a moment. Grace walks in with arms wide. Fire deep in your soul. Your faith was strong and the call was clear. I'm sure you can make a new road. Like so many, the flame grew dark. Confidence hit the wall. There always seems to be a lot of big questions, and the answers seem so small. It's not over, it's not over. This is a moment. Grace walks in with arms wide open, arms wide open. To tell you this is not the end. When doubt is strong and your will is weak, to even believe again, that's when grace, that's when.
John 1:14 says this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16 or 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Talk to me about that, Betty. I love that song, When Grace Walks In, don't you? Woo.
Yeah, and it's not over.
It's, you know, not, it's over. Not over.
It's not over.
Woo!
It's not over.
But so often we feel like it is, like this Canaanite woman when Jesus said, wait a minute, no, I didn't come to deal with your daughter. I mean, she could have said, she could have just given up, turned around and left, but she didn't do that, did she?
No, she kept on keeping on.
She persisted.
And she persisted, and you know what? She was radical.
Woo! Radical, that Canaanite woman.
She was, because she knew that this was an opportunity, and I think that the Holy Spirit had spoken to her.
Oh, absolutely.
And said, go. And when the Holy Spirit says go, you go. And
that's
you
right.
go with a, with a radical attitude.
That's
say,
right.
Okay, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. I am going to take my daughter, and this is what's going to happen. And this is what we have to do in today's world.
Yes.
Is that when we get to the point where there is doubt, there is fear, there is a lot going on in our lives, is that the word tells us that we can go boldly to the throne of glory, and that's face down asking God, okay, God, I've got this, and this going on.
Right.
And he's going to tell you, well, it's not over yet. Just hold on.
Amen.
Hold tight
it's
to your faith.
It's not over.
No.
Woo!
No, it's over.
And wow.
And he has the final say so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we have to let him take control and release ours, because there's a chain breaking effect in that thinking, because once you let go and those chains are gone,
right,
that you are free and that you have a peace.
Oh, yes.
All understanding once those chains, that fear. And I know that Canaanite lady was persistent. She was radical in saying, okay, God, I'm here. I need you. I want you to heal my daughter. And, you know, there was exchange of dialogue, and he said he healed her within the hour.
He did.
And
let's, yes.
That's what persistence does, and we can still
yes.
do it today in prayer
yes.
on our knees, face down.
Amen. Amen. Let's look at verse 25 of Matthew 15. Then the woman came back to Jesus. That's perseverance. That's hanging in there. That's not taking no for an answer. You know, it's like, no, Jesus, I know that I'm supposed to come to you and you're going to heal my daughter. I mean, it's like she was so persistent. Betty, we've got to be that way ourselves when we are dealing with difficult situations in our lives. No, Lord, I know that you have spoken to my heart and said you were going to provide for me. So, Lord, I'm coming back to you. I don't know how you're going to provide for me, but, Lord, I'm believing that you are. So I come back to you. I am persistent. I persevere. I hang in there. I'm tough. I'm courageous. And I remind you one more time of your promise. That's what we've got to do, Betty. And so in verse, go ahead.
I think that a lot of people today are so timid.
Yes.
And so afraid.
Oh, yes.
Speak their heart, not their mind, but speak their heart and say, God, I need this. They're afraid that their request is trivial, or that God wouldn't even care about this. God cares about every aspect
Amen.
Of your life.
Amen.
Break the timidity, break the chains. It's just like you did many years ago with this little timid creature, grabbed me by the collar.
I did.
Said, in the name of Jesus, you will speak. And this is what you told me. You will speak boldly.
Yes. I remember.
And I said, okay. And that's where the timidity, that's where the chains were broken.
Right there.
So that when you pray, and I can pray softly, but most of the time I'm a very bold prayer.
Yes, you are.
And people will look at me and say, why don't you take that down a notch? And it's like, when I go to the throne, the Lord knows when I come boldly.
Amen, which
and
we're told to do.
That's what we're supposed to do. And we've just got to have the faith and the determination. And like you said, the perseverance
yeah.
to be able to say, to hold on. Don't let go. Don't give up. Just hold on and let Jesus do the work. Let go and let God work for you.
You know, you're exactly right. And when I did take hold of your hand or arm or whatever it was and pull you up and say, no, you're going to do this.
You took hold of my collar, lady.
Collar, all right. Well, whatever it was in that radical
in
moment.
Love. In love.
In love. But you could have turned and run and said, I'm never going back to that church and that prayer meeting. That woman's nuts. But you didn't. And I tell you right now, Betty, you probably would not be doing a radio show with me right now if you hadn't made the right decision back then and said, yes, I will become that woman of faith and courage and perseverance. Yes, I will be strong. And you did that day. You made the decision. You did not turn tail and run. Neither did the Canaanite woman when she was first said, oh, no, this isn't for you. And then she goes, wait a minute, beggar dogs get scraps from the master's table, she said to him. Jesus gave in verse 28 of Matthew 15. He said, oh, woman, your faith is something else. Ha! What you want is what you get. What you want is what you get. Right then, her daughter became well. What got her daughter healed? The mother's faith. Persevering faith, overwhelming, being faithed up to overflowing, the title of this series that we've been in forever, that being faithed up to overflowing caused that woman to hang in there. And Jesus said, oh, woman, your faith is something else. What you want is what you get. Right then, her daughter became well. Verse 28 of Matthew 15. You can check it out yourself, listeners. It's right there. Woo, talk to me, Betty, before this next song in a minute.
Well,
no, in 10 minutes. Sorry, I looked at the clock wrong. In 10 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think that once we become spirit-filled, and once we understand the power that we have available to us,
amen,
that we become the people that God wants us to be.
Yes.
We're not afraid. I'm not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That we become faced up.
Yes.
That we become a voice.
Yes.
For the Lord here, here it drives us. It perpetuates us. It catapults us into different levels in the spirit realm.
It does.
And this happens through prayer, and it happens through intercession. It happens through, it breaks down barriers. It breaks down walls that people have up in their own lives. And what, taking it back to the very first part of Matthew 15, is that religious leaders in today's realm, in today's church, have got to start preaching the word of God.
Amen.
It can't be what their words say. It has to be what the Lord tells them to preach through the word of God, because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can break through any barriers. It's a light into our path. It's so important today, Pastor, that we become the people that God wants us to be.
Oh, amen.
Quit being afraid of what other people are going to think of us. And I think that's
right.
Kind of is what, when I read Matthew through Matthew 15 twice or three times, twice last night and three times today, is I had a hard time understanding. Okay, God, what are you trying to tell me?
Right.
And he goes, I want you to be who I want you to be.
That's right.
What God wants me to be.
Right.
Quit worrying about what other people think about you. If we're out preaching or we're out singing or whatever, praising God, whatever, is, it's like Jesus did. He shrugged them off. He shrugged off those naysayers.
That's right.
It's just like what people say about me is, I shouldn't let what people say about me affect me. It's hard not to.
Oh, it's hard not to. Absolutely.
It's hard not to, but that's where that shield of faith comes
Amen.
In.
Amen.
That the Lord gives us in Ephesians is that it just let it bounce off like water off a duck's back.
Right.
And keep going. Just keep on keeping on and keep the faith. And that's where God wants us to go, I think, Pastor.
Oh, I agree. I think there's got
to be closer to Him. Closer to Him.
Amen. And there's got to be a new level of perseverance and persistence than most Christians are living in my opinion. I mean, Jesus had all these things happen to him when he walked the earth for 3 years of ministry. So many situations. This is just one of them with the Canaanite woman. And it's included in Scripture because it teaches us the heart of Jesus, that he does want to answer our prayers, that he loves us so much, whether or not we are perfect, we're not ever going to be, whether or not we are flawed deeply. If we're flawed deeply, it's time to come to Jesus and say, Lord, show me those areas in my life that are polluting me. You know, in the top of Matthew 15 in the Message Bible, the little phrase there at the beginning of this chapter is, what pollutes your life? Question mark. And I believe, Betty, this is the question for the hour. What pollutes your life? You know, is it... is it just laziness? Is it just an attitude of I don't care? Is it deep sin? Is it immorality? Is it a nature that's always lying? Are you always lying, trying to cover up what is really true, make yourself look better? Is your heart right before God, or is your heart saying one thing, or your mouth saying one thing, but your heart really feeling another? You know, where is the truth? We've been talking about the truth today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Deception is a tool of the enemy. Things that distract us away from the Word of God. These are used by the enemy to get us off track so that we don't see what God is really wanting us to see in our lives, so we don't hear his voice correctly. Does all that make sense, Betty?
Oh, yeah. And I said, I think it's our character.
Yes, it's our character. What's your character? Yes.
I am a character, and so
yes,
are you.
Yes, you are. Yeah, I guess I am too.
Yeah, you are.
But in a good way. You know, we're talking...
in a good way, yeah.
Right.
It's the things that... our compassion, our intent is to love one another as Christ loved us.
Mm-hmm.
And people have to see us in a good light, even though we are by no means perfect.
Right.
We have to be able to be submissive. We have to be able to know how to be repentive.
Exactly.
When it comes to that point, to get rid of the malice, the jealousy, the anger, the hatred that sometimes that the devil can use to bring down our character.
Oh, yeah.
Bring us down to a point where we start receiving condemnation and things that are not of the Lord or of the Spirit.
Right.
The Holy
yeah.
Spirit.
Right.
That we have to be so faithed up to overflowing. We have to be prayed up. We have to be read into the Word of God down
Amen.
To the point where nothing else matters.
Right.
We have to be sold out. We
yes.
have to be totally surrendered to the point where, God, if you came back today, I want to be the first one up those golden stairs. That when, and I said this before, and it still brings me to tears, to see the Lord on that cross.
Woo.
But know that he's not there anymore.
Amen.
Because he died for me, and I want
Amen.
Him to say, well done, my kind and faithful servant.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what I want to be, is a servant for the Lord.
Yes, 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 yes. And so God is calling us into account, into...
Amen, amen.
What's the word I'm looking for? Into... where we're accountable, I guess, is the only way I can think to say it right now, for our actions, our attitudes. If you've got hatred, jealousy, envy, strife in your heart, it's going to come out. Jesus said this in Matthew 15, what is in your heart is going to come out your mouth. Okay, you may not want it to come out, You may think that you're a really great deceiver and that you can pull the wool over people's eyes for a real long time. But you know what? I have learned, because I've walked this earth a long time, and I'm telling you, people's character eventually comes out, Betty. It comes out. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yes, most likely. We used to tell the kids that, you know, junk in, junk out.
Right.
Word in, word out.
Right.
And it still applies to adults today.
Yes,
and
it does.
Children across this great land of ours, is that if you pollute yourself with junk, you're going to get junk out.
That's right. What you plant and grows.
Yep. Yeah, exactly right.
What and, you feed you know, grows. You know,
amen.
Dr.
Amen.
Angel says that a lot on Go Yard. What you feed grows, what you starve dies. And, you know, the more I think about that, and she says it a lot, it's so true. Because if you are planting discord, if you're planting anger, if you're planting hatred, it's going to come out. Or if you're harboring it in your heart, maybe you're not planting it, you're just harboring it. It's in your heart. And you think people can't see it. You think nobody knows what's really going on. Let me tell you, dear friend, everybody, not everybody, but it will come out. And certainly God knows what's in your heart. And Jesus says here in Matthew 15, what's in your mouth, what's in your heart comes out your mouth eventually. At some point, it will.
Well, it has to. It's just like anything that we digest, anything that we take in from a human perspective, from the mouth all the way through the esophagus, through the stomach, yada, 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 through the intestines, comes out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Once you get to that point, if you have that much hatred and that much discord about someone, it starts seeping out through your pores.
It does.
Your character starts to break down.
You know,
and
people go ahead.
Can see it.
They
people
can. You know what
they're
I like? I liken it to. Go ahead, say that again.
Your countenance changes. Your whole
That's right.
physical body changes. You start feeling sick. You start becoming emaciated to the point where you're spiritually emaciated to the point where you're a mean and angry, nasty
right.
person.
Yes.
And once Mr. Clean gets a hold of you, which is
amen.
The Lord God Almighty,
woo,
the Holy
amen.
Spirit, and starts cleaning you up, people will see a difference in your character.
Yes. Yes.
But it's your choice of what you do with it. If you want to hold on to it, hold on to it. If you want to break free of those chains, let it go and let
it
God
go.
Take control.
And, you know, I think the devil tries to convince people that people won't see what's really in their heart.
Yeah.
And I liked the metaphor that I said several months back here. I know someone who takes a lot of garlic eats garlic and takes pills of garlic, this person. And, boy, when you walk up to this person, all you smell is garlic. And he may not have eaten anything right then, but boy, that garlic comes out, that smell. It's the same thing here with the things that pollute us. We're going to go to one of your favorite songs, and I knew you were on the air today, and I've got an extra CD here in the studio, and we're going to, of course, Betty, play Karen Peck and the New River song, Behind
the Line of Grace.
Yes. Your favorite song.
God's children quietly lie in wait while the battle rages on. Rules of this war say that God will always shield his own. And though afraid, danger well in sight, sometimes we're just too tired to try. He tells us to be still and know and wait behind the line. All the soldiers of God's army are behind the line of grace. No matter how the battle goes, the Lord will keep us safe. There's no weapon that can stand against the wall God built in our defense. but we're secure behind the line of grace. He will not withdraw his eyes from the righteous night or day. We may not always see him, but he knows the way we take. When we have no strength, no power to fight, and it seems like God is nowhere in sight, he steps in front of the enemy while we rest behind the line. All the soldiers of God's army
Hallelujah. That is where every one of us have got to abide, behind the line of grace, because Jesus is full of grace and truth. And we must abide in his presence. We must live in his presence. Oh, my. Oh, I love that. That's where we've got to hang out, behind that line of grace, Betty, because life brings all kinds of things that are difficult, and we've got to trust in the grace and the truth of Jesus to get us through those hard times. Amen?
Oh, amen. I tell you, no matter how many times I hear that song, Pastor,
it
gives me goosebumps.
I love it.
What? It gives me determination.
Yes.
To say, you know, to stand up to the devil and say, not today, devil, I'm
That's right.
blessed.
Yes.
And that he puts up that protection, that shield for us, that, you know, maybe there are times that we can't stand on our own.
Right.
But he's got us behind that line of grace, and he's protecting us with his wings. He's protecting us to keep us from the fowler's snare.
Amen.
He's there whenever we need him. And when we're not strong enough to stand on our own, as I was back in October, that I knew that I had that protection. I knew that I had that shield that would protect me.
Yes.
He would heal me
and
bring me back to overflowing in him. And if it weren't for him, during those stormy times, I don't know where I'd be. I think my boat capsized a couple of times. I still held on. I still held on to the boat. I still held on to the anchor. I still held on to the Lord who saved me, the Lord
Amen.
Who protects me, but my comforter, my healer. He's my Jehovah Rapha. He's my banner.
Amen.
He's my Jehovah Nisi. He's everything, and that's what we have to hold on to. Isn't it marvelous to be able to have someone that strong and that
it's wonderful.
That you don't have to worry about him calling in sick.
Right,
You never have to worry about him not being at the intersection when you need him.
That's right.
He's always there.
Yes, and what you're referring to in October is your triple bypass heart surgery, and it was an unexpected event, and it was a difficult event, and it was a lengthy recovery. But you are doing great, and God saw you through it, and sustained you, and your family's been there for you. And, you know, it is totally amazing that even though, yes, we're going to have trials, audience, we're going to have problems in this life. Jesus said we were. He said, I'm never going to give you more than you can handle. And so, you know, so often we think that means that, oh, well, I just don't think I can handle this. You know what? God will see you through it. It's behind that line of grace where he sees us through it. And no matter what you're going through, dear audience member, right now, God knows your situation. God knows. He sees what you're going through. He understands the attack that you're under. And he is greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Isaiah says this, no weapon formed against us can prosper. Any tongue that accuses us is in judgment, we will show to be in the wrong. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Romans 8 says, we are more than conquerors. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give it abundantly till it overflows. God wants us faithed up to overflowing. God wants us so full of faith that no matter what comes at us, the power of God that lives in us and works through us is stronger and able to carry us through and defeat the attack, whatever it is. Satan is he absolutely has no power over Jesus and over the word. And Jesus, and in Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 20, it says that the angels are sent to be ministering spirits to carry out the word of God. And guys, that's what God wants for us. We need to get the word so mightily on the inside of us. We need to be so full of God's word that no matter what comes at us, we know that we have the living God living in us, and that the word of God will prevail over the attack of the enemy. What do you say about all that, Betty?
Well, if I was a shouting woman, I'd be a shouting.
But you are a shouting woman. You are.
I'd be shouting, praise God. I'd be shouting, Lord. You are, if you're a Lord of Lords.
Woo! You are the Lord. Amen.
And preach it, Pastor, preach it. That is good preaching right there.
Good preaching. Yes. And so, dear friends, no matter what it is you're going through, this is the time for you to trust God in your life. If you are not sure this moment that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, we want to invite you right now to nail down your salvation, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Betty, I'm going to ask you to repeat the prayer after me. And dear ones out there, if you're not positive of your salvation, pray this prayer along with Betty. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
I believe that God sent Jesus to this world.
I believe that God sent Jesus to this world.
To live among us and show us the Father.
And show us the Father.
I believe that God allowed his son Jesus.
I believe that God allowed his son Jesus.
To die on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
To die on the cross for my sins and sickness.
I believe that God the Father.
I believe that God the Father.
Raised Jesus from the dead.
Raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that Jesus is alive forevermore.
I believe that Jesus is alive forevermore.
I invite you, Jesus, to come and live in my heart.
Oh, I invite you, Jesus, to come and live in my heart.
By faith.
By faith.
I receive you now as my personal Lord and Savior.
I receive you now as my personal Lord and Savior.
I ask you to forgive me for anything and everything.
I ask you to forgive me for everything and anything
I've ever said or done.
I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I confess my sins.
I confess my sins.
And I know you are faithful and just.
And I know you are faithful and just.
To forgive me my sins.
To forgive me of my sins.
And to cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
And to cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
This I pray, this I believe.
This I pray and this I believe.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
If you prayed that prayer along with Betty, we invite you to contact me personally or Betty. My email is pastor@bohmglobal.com. Betty's is prayers@bohmglobal.com. You can reach either one of us. You can start a dialogue. We'll email with you. I would encourage you to start in the book of John and begin to really read it and study it. It's an amazing book. And so that is the best way to do. Get started in the book of John. Get started in the book of Psalms. And we encourage you to do that and learn the Word of God. You can communicate with Betty at prayers@bohmglobal.com, and you can communicate with me, Pastor Marcia, at pastor@bohmglobal.com. We invite you to use our prayer line. It's there for you to use. It is prayers@bohmglobal.com. Anybody can use it. Send your prayer requests, send your praise reports, and Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, or Betty or Shell will pick up your request and get those out to our prayer team. If you say, I'd like to be on that prayer team, we want to have you there. Prayers, just send an email and say, put me on the prayer team. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Final word from you, Betty. Time is running down.
Well, I think that the word is have faith, don't doubt, and believe that when Jesus says he'll do it, he'll do it.
Amen. 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 We encourage you to listen to this show again this Saturday and or Sunday, as we are syndicated with StarcomRadioNetwork.com. You can pick up this show Saturday and Sunday coming up 10 a.m. Eastern Time with StarcomRadioNetwork.com. You can catch our Go Yard show, which is our life coaching show that we do every Thursday night at 6:06 p.m. Eastern. You can catch that at noon following Living the Good Life. Is our Go Yard show on Saturday and on Sunday at 12 noon Eastern, okay? And again, one more time, four words in that address, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Betty and Megan, thank you so much for a great show. God bless you both for your efforts, and we'll see you soon, actually see you soon in April. Any other comment, Betty? Are you out of here?
No, I'm still here. one of the things that I would like to say from an old lady perspective is that no matter your age, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, is it Jesus' hand, and he is there to meet you wherever you
Amen.
Are.
Amen. Amen. With that, I agree. It's been Pastor Marcia, Betty, and Megan bringing you Living the Good Life today from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern.
To his side, there's no need.